On radio, online and mobile. You're with SBS Radio. Now it's news and current affairs with SBS Dinka.
We're ping na yu aratonga jeng SBS Dinka Radio.
Hello and welcome to SBS Dinka Radio. I'm Jack Dinkyanko and today we will be joined by the South Sudanese ruling party Secretary General Pagan Amum, who is also the leader of the former detainees G10 as it is known. Last week at a BOA interview, Pagan made a statement that calling for the international community and the regional forces to be deployed in South Sudan. As for today, which is the 12th of August 2016, Pagan is in New York calling for the United Nations and other stakeholders to be able to send more troops to South Sudan. South Sudan is already a home to more than 12,000 UN troops, and now additional forces which were proposed by the United States state that 4,000 extra strong forces with extra powers would be deployed. Now I will be talking to Pagan in United States. Pagan Amum, Secretary General, how are you doing? And welcome to SBS Dinka Radio.
I'm very well, thank you. And thank you for hosting in your great radio station and program, which is being listened to by many people in our country, especially those who speak Dinka.
Last week on BOA Straight Talk Africa, you called for intervention forces to be deployed in South Sudan. And few hours ago, you were seen in front of the United Nations with some South Sudanese rallying and calling for the intervention to be done. What are you calling for? Are you calling for the international troops to be sent to South Sudan, or are you calling for the regional troops to be sent to South Sudan? And what are they going to do?
I'm calling for regional and international intervention to rescue South Sudan from collapsing into chaos and disorder. President Kiir has led the country to an abyss, and he has actually succeeded to push our country off the cliff, and it is now in a free fall. And we need our region, our continent, and the international community at large to come to the rescue of South Sudan and avoid South Sudan hitting the hard ground of disintegration of our state. The African continent cannot afford to have another disintegration of a state, another failed state. The region is already overstressed with Somalia as a failed state, and now efforts are there to bring back Somalia together with the African Union forces protecting the new Somali government and bringing back its stability from total collapse.
Now,
South Sudan is just about to collapse, and this has to be rescued by the region in the first place, by the African continent, and the international community. All this has to be done under the United Nations.
Pagan Amum, if I can take you back 30 years ago, you were part of the SPLM senior elites who participated until 2005. You joined the government of South Sudan as an official and also working as a chief negotiator. Will you be agreeing with the argument made now by the government of South Sudan that those who are in the SPLM G10 or those who are now thinking that they can be a political solution were part of the mess and they were part of the failure, with you directly being blamed as the Secretary General of the SPLM? Is that something that you can respond to?
In the first part, we started the struggle before the SPLM. The groups of our late chairman, John Garang, and those of Sulphur Kiir and others joined us in the bushes of South Sudan, and we were long time in the bushes fighting for the freedom of our people before them. And when they joined us in 1983, we all put our hands together and joined to create the SPLM as one national organization, bringing together the struggles of our people under the wise and visionary leadership of John Garang. That is how we started. So we have been in the struggle before even those of Salva Kiir in this last liberation war. Of course, he was in the Anyang one, together with those of John Garang under the leadership of Joseph Lago. There's no doubt about that. So we have been in the SPLM, SPLA, in the struggle until we lost our leader, Dr. John Garang Dumadier, who led us to the CPA, who led us to guarantee the right of the self-determination for our people. And when President Salva Kiir took over the leadership, he lost direction, he lost vision. We tried to help him. We struggled to implement the CPA most of the time without his leadership, without even his support, because he has literally lost the direction. And actually, he was conniving and betraying the struggle of our people. He was most of the time being convinced by the National Congress Party and President Bashir to betray our people. That has been the way we were struggling from 2005. From 2005. May I answer your question? Yeah. May I complete the answer to your question? Okay, I have actually not come to answer the main question. And from 2005, we have struggled to make sure that the referendum is implemented, that South Sudan is independent, and the people of South Sudan followed all the public positions of everybody, whether President Kiir or myself or other leaders. And from 2005, it has been a difficult struggle within the movement, within the leadership of SPLM. Kiir and his group tried to isolate us, tried to marginalize us, those whom were effective in the leadership of SPLM during John Garang, and they branded us and called us John Garang boys, and all our people witnessed this. Yet we maintain our calm and work to make sure that the movement is united, and we focus the struggle on implementing the CPA, ensuring the right of self-determination for our people and killing the people. But we have been talking with Kiir. I personally have been talking to Kiir of all the mistaken direction he has been taking. I have been advising him. He has not been listening. And to the point that our discussions, when he reached the point of refusing to talk, to listen to us, going in the wrong direction, when he was refusing to correct the mistakes, some of us, myself personally, have been forced to take these issues public to SPLM members, calling for the need to correct the mistakes, the need to change the direction, the need to return to the vision of SPLM. And this led to many people, particularly myself, to be put under house arrest, to be denied my rights of freedom of speech, my rights of freedom of movement as Secretary General. So we have been discussing these issues. Only the problem has been that President Kiir and people like Michael McQuaid, Tilar Deng, and many others were the one confusing the president and were the one being used to destroy the direction, I mean, to destroy the vision of SPLM and to destroy the SPLM itself and take it over.
Why do you think...
So this has been external... An internal conflict. We are not part of the mess. We have been against that mess. We have talked about the mess. They have persecuted us because we spoke out clearly against these direction which has now led the country to collapse.
They own the entire responsibility for it.
When peace agreement was signed in 2005, you were one of the people who signed one protocol. In 2015, when the August peace was signed, you, Pagana Amum, Riek Machar, and President Kiir Mayardit were the three signatories to the peace agreement, and you were expected to be in Juba in order to implement that peace. Instead, you chose to stay away in exile. Why was that?
What happened is very clear, and now I have been vindicated by history and development. When I was in Juba, I talked to President Kiir and persuaded him that we must end this war and we must sign this peace agreement. He then told me that he was convinced, he was ready, if we could talk and convince Dr. Riek Machar. We went to Addis Ababa, we talked to Dr. Riek Machar, and Dr. Riek Machar committed himself that he was ready to sign to stop this war. And then it was for Salva Kiir to come. When we talked to him and informed him that Dr. Riek Machar is ready, I'm ready to sign, he should come, he changed his mind. Or his mind was changed, as usual. And he came to Addis and refused to sign. That is how we signed. We went to Juba under pressure. He signed the agreement. But after he signed the agreement, he said that he was signing this agreement with 16 reservations. He said that this agreement which he signed is not a Quran nor a Bible and that he will not implement it. He went ahead and issued a number of decrees violating the constitution, violating the peace agreement, and he delayed the implementation of the agreement. And it was very clear for me that there is no agreement to be implemented here because President Kiir and those of Michael McCoy and the rest are warmongers who wanted to continue the war. They did not want to implement the agreement.
Until now, you are the leader of the former detainees, SPLM G10, who are represented in the transitional government of national unity. Why are your members still in the government while you are advocating for the intervention which may end the government of national unity? Why are you advocating for the intervention, yet your people are part of the government? Are you not their leader?
Yes, I am. I am their leader. But because it was very clear to me, and I've made this very clear to all former detainees, that President Kiir is not ready to sign this peace agreement, and there will be no peace in South Sudan with President Kiir being in power. But they said, okay, now that we have signed this peace agreement, despite all the utterances and positions taken by Kiir that this agreement is not a Quran, this agreement is not a Bible, and it cannot be implemented, let them go and try to implement it. And I said, fair enough, you go. It is clear to me this agreement will not be implemented because of the strategic position taken by Kiir. But then you go, I give you the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
You go and try, implement it. So I decided to remain in exile, knowing that this agreement will not be implemented. And I also decided, as part of my agreement with the FDs, that while they are trying to implement this agreement, I will remain silent, give them the opportunity to try their best to persuade President Kiir if they could. I knew Kiir has reached a point of degeneration that there is no way to bring him out from the path, the dark path that he has traveled into.
So now that...
And that is why now, when he finally destroyed this agreement in July, this year, 2016, just as South Sudanese were about to celebrate the fifth anniversary in supposedly peace environment, he took the country back to war, and now he pushed the country off the cliff. It was in danger of collapsing into chaos. Now he has pushed it into chaos. And that is why we are calling on the region, our region, the AGAP, the African Union, and the international community to come to the rescue of South Sudan.
Until now, many South Sudanese are hesitant to the call for the intervention. And this is going to be an issue for you or anybody to be able to convince them. Do you have confidence that people of South Sudan are going to take this as you mean it, or they are going to have a different explanation as a taking over of their country?
I am sure actually not the South Sudanese listening to me. It will be the South Sudanese celebrating to be protected from this government. South Sudanese citizens, more than 200,000 South Sudanese are today in UN camps in South Sudan, being protected from their own government. This government has killed thousands, tens of thousands of South Sudanese citizens using the sovereignty that they have hijacked. Kiir government is a government that has lost its legitimacy. It is true that Kiir was elected in 2010, but his term of office has come to an end, and he took the country to war to avoid elections. Kiir got another lease of legitimacy on the basis of the peace agreement that was signed when the government of national unity was formed on the basis of the peace agreement to implement it. This transitional government has been destroyed by Kiir now with his action against the peace agreement, and particularly pushing Victor Yaghmachar, the first vice president, as per that government and that agreement, out of the country. He has lost legitimacy.
Now,
the people of South Sudan need to be rescued from this illegitimate government that has hijacked the country and taking the country in the wrong direction, destroying the country, killing our people, committing all crimes that the United Nations has been formed to prevent. Crimes against humanity, war crimes, rape, and violence against women. All these are being perpetrated by Kiir government.
It seems you, Riek, and Kiir are not going to have a proper understanding as soon as we know. Are you going to resign as the head of the former detainees, or will you continue to be an advocate while serving the same role in the SPLM Gitan?
Daniel Orkol has been acting from August 2015, and I chose to step aside and leave them to try their best. But now they have hit the hard wall, and the agreement is destroyed, literally. It is dead. It is killed by Kiir. And also, for your information, I have been reinstated as Secretary General of SPLM. I'm not a former Secretary of SPLM. I'm still the Secretary General of SPLM. But I chose not to be in Juba and to be the Secretary General of Kiir, which is taking the country and the SPLM in the wrong direction. And now I am engaged in advocacy as a civil society action to work to rescue South Sudan. This, I believe, is a very important platform of a struggle. And our focus here is to campaign all over the world to bring the attention of the world to focus on South Sudan, where we have a illegitimate government, a government that has no right to exercise the sovereignty of our people, because this sovereignty is being used to destroy the very people who have that sovereignty.
Let's take
the power that Kiir is having is a power given to him.
Paganamum, if Kiir, Riek Machar, Taban Dengai, and Wani Iga were to leave politics today or leave the position that they are serving in today, how will the UN administration solve the current polarization within South Sudanese communities? And if UN is not able to do that, what will be the best solution in order to reconcile and be able to let people of South Sudan stay together?
That is not what we are proposing, and that is not how it will work. What it will work now, how it will work, if we are all to focus on preventing our country from collapsing into chaos and disorder, preventing it from our state to disintegrate, what we need to do now is to allow the intervention of the region and the international community under the Security Council of the United Nations, both Chapter 7 and Chapter 8, where the region, having been now put into a lot of burden by more or nearly a million, or actually more than a million, South Sudanese being now refugees in both Sudan, Uganda, Ethiopia, and Kenya, and many are still living and running out of the country. This intervention will lead to stabilize and pacify the country.
What is the best example?
And then the political, there must be a political process where we will call on the United Nations, the African Union, and IGAD region to organize an urgent roundtable conference to bring together all the political parties, the political forces in the country, the civil society, the faith-based group, and even our diaspora, to participate in a roundtable conference to discuss how to take our country in transition to peace and democracy.
What are the best examples that Pagana Amom can give when it comes to intervention by the UN forces? And how is that going to be understood by the people within the country or outside the country? If you can take example of countries like Somalia, countries like Sierra Leone, what is the best example and what will be replicated in South Sudan?
Yes, proceeding from a national roundtable conference for South Sudanese to agree on the transition, we would be able to agree to a government of technocrats and ask and agree that all the political forces in the country, step aside, all of them, prepare themselves for elections, and the technocratic government would then take the country through a transition, implementing a program, an emergency program to deal with the crisis, with the humanitarian crisis, to feed our people who have actually reached more than 6 million who need now rescue. And we have to resettle our people. We have nearly 2.5 million displaced and refugees be returned to the country and returned to their homes, and stabilizing the security, disarming all the combatants, and agree on a new structure for our security sector, a new national army that will be formed reflecting the diversity of South Sudan, a new national police that will be based as a force to implement law enforcement agencies and implement law and maintain peace and order in the country. The examples that I can give you, and that have been very successful in situations where country is destroyed by civil war, like in our case, are the following. In Africa, you have Liberia and Sierra Leone. In West Africa, the ECOWAS and the West African region, ECOWAS with ECOMOC forces intervened in Liberia, forced President Charles Taylor out, and that became a United Nations mission with the transitional government and took that country to back to peace and stability. They are now stable and peaceful. They were a sovereign country, and they have been assisted by the region and the international community, the UN, and that mission has winded up, and now they are stable. No. You have Sierra Leone. The same thing happened in Sierra Leone. They were an independent country, but it was ravaged by war, civil wars of tribal militias and different groups, and they are today stable. They are a democracy, and they are peaceful. I give you an example in your own region where you are speaking from. East Timor, when the Timor-Leste declared their independence, Indonesia intervened and supported groups that led to a massive civil war in that country. And Australia and New Zealand intervened, took actually the leadership of intervention in that country, which were joined by others, France, Russia, and others. And a United Nations mission was established to temporarily administer that country until held elections, and they are now today stable. I give you an example from Europe. Kosovo. Kosovo as a region declared their independence. They were fighting with the Serbians, and because of that intensity of war and the dangers of a possible genocide, NATO intervened in that region, and the mission under the United Nations was established. Today, Kosovo has become independent. It has been recognized by many countries, and it is stable. These are examples that we are talking about, okay. And they have been successful. These countries got out of their civil wars and destruction, and they have become stable, and they are democracies.
If the Sudanese forces and the Ugandans were to be sent as part of the intervention forces into South Sudan, what would be the reaction of the South Sudanese people, knowing that Sudan is a former enemy, as South Sudanese used to call it? Uganda is seen now as an ally with the current government. How is that going to work?
Given the sensitivities with Sudan and Uganda, the discussions here in New York is to make sure that the intervention force is composed from our other regional countries that would exclude Sudan and Uganda, given their level of involvement.
Until now, Ethiopia is part of the IGAD groups that are talking about the intervention in South Sudan. But Ethiopia is already facing some challenges with the demonstration happening across the country. Do you think that Ethiopians are going to participate? And what best example are they going to give when they have their own problems and they are looking at solving other people's problems?
Ethiopia will participate. Countries like Kenya will participate. Countries like Rwanda will participate, and maybe others. And even Sudan and Uganda, by the way, they are affected by instability. They are hosting a big number of South Sudanese refugees, and South Sudan is actually becoming a big burden on both Sudan and South Sudan. And it is in their national interest to work with the other region, other countries in the region, and with the African Union and the international community to make sure South Sudan does not collapse into chaos. Otherwise, they will be the one to pay the price.
As we are speaking, you are in New York, and you have an intention of meeting some high-profile UN officials and also the American officials? Who have you met already?
We have come here to engage members of the Security Council, Peace and Security, to engage the Secretariat and to engage with all those who have any possibility to support South Sudan to achieve peace and stability, all those who are capable to influence situations so that South Sudan is rescued from collapsing. And we have been meeting with a big number of people. I'm not here to talk about with whom we met, but this is we are here. We've been meeting from the last 2 days, and they have been thoughtful, and I'm sure our viewpoints have been taken into consideration because they are reflecting the bitter.
SPLM in opposition is divided, as many of you are well aware of it now. Taban was taken in as an acting vice president, but he's no longer calling himself the acting vice president. He's the one who now used the word that Riek should go into exile and return when there is election. So that shows there is a possibility of a great split. What will be your advice in that? And how is the political solution going to be found in South Sudan quickly?
The first part is that the peace agreement actually is destroyed by President Kiir and his group. They pushed Dr. Riek out of Juba. They killed so many of his bodyguards in J1, and they followed on Sunday to attack and destroy his house in Juba, and he has been forced out, fleeing for his life. And now he's being hunted down by the government militias all over in Equatoria. They are fighting back. What they told me is that they are fighting back in self-defense. Now the region is intervening to take the situation back to before July 7th, in an attempt to resurrect the peace agreement. And I doubt that it can be really resurrected that easily, but yeah. That is the intention. And but I do not think it will work because there has been lack of political will on the side of President Kiir and his group. They have been against the peace agreement. They did not want to implement it. Now that they pushed Riek Machar, even when he returned, there will be huge mistrust that will not make them implement the agreement. No. Therefore, the only best possible way forward would be to call a round table conference for all South Sudanese political forces and civil society and church-based group to really discuss and agree how to rescue the country.
But that
to
was
form
done in
a new transitional government that, in my view, and I would suggest, should exclude all the political parties. All of us should step aside. Let us give chance to a government of technocrats. We have so many South Sudanese professionals. And this idea is not a new idea. It has been proposed right from the beginning by many that we make the political parties agree to step aside, prepare themselves for elections. And I'm hearing from Juba, calling, they are saying if Riek Machar is ready to be in to seek leadership, let him wait for elections. This should actually be then all the political parties. It should be President Kiir, it should be Riek Machar, it should be Lama Kol, Pagana Mum, anybody who is leading any group who is interested. But now let us agree to rescue our country.
Hello, thank you for listening. That is part one with the Secretary of SPLM, who is now advocating for the intervention in New York and is already now confirmed that the UN Security Council have passed a resolution for the intervention forces to go to South Sudan, and that is going to be negotiated within a few days. Part two of this interview will be available soon at our website at www.sbs.com.au/dinka. And thank you for listening and take time to give us your comments. I'm Ajak Dinkyanko of SBS Dinka Radio. Thank you. And the translated part of it is available also on the first broadcast on Saturday, and part of it will be also available on Sunday morning in Dinka. Thank you.
SBS Dinka Radio, take a cool copy on Facebook.